everyone, and welcome back to the SaaS developer community. A week back, we published a blog post introducing the big concept of SaaS control planes. It actually was a longer, writier version of a video that we published, I think, almost 2 months ago by now, and ended up being the most popular video on the channel. So we wrote a blog post, which also ended up being quite popular and really explaining why you need a SaaS control plane, what do you need to have in it, the architecture, and why the architecture is difficult. Even though we said explicitly why the architecture is difficult, people came back and said, oh, it doesn't look very hard. So today we published another blog post explaining that it is harder than it looks. And we went, in the blog went through a bunch of gotchas and traps, things that you think are easy, but actually not as easy as it sounds. And we thought that the one thing that was missing from the blog, because I wanted to cover all those different scenarios, was really one scenario, start to finish, showing all the different things that can be a lot more challenging to implement than you may first realize. So this is today's video, and Ram is joining me to make my life difficult, point out even more gotchas that maybe I didn't think of, poke holes in my solution proposals, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, great to be here, and excited to talk about all problems.
Yeah, it's old and familiar problems. So yeah, usually all the problems start when the product manager shows up at the team meeting and says, well, I have this new requirement. I know it's going to sound kind of thing, but is there a small thing you can do for me? It's probably not that difficult. And in this case, the requirement ended up being?
Yeah, so I'll pick one of them. In my experience, building such products at Confluent, we had many such requirements. And I'll pick one which ended up being pretty interesting problem to solve. And, this is probably called, we had customers who ended up using the credit card to sign up and start using our product. And, initially it's all excitement because all you care about is users trying to use your product. And then once they started using their product and things became more serious in terms of usage and scale and cost and so on, you have a lot of challenges that you have to essentially tackle. So one of the key challenges was, hey, guess what? The credit card that the customer just provided a few months back or couple of years back is going to expire. And if they're going to expire, which means then they're going to stop paying us. And the question is then, what do you do? What do we have to do in terms of customer experience? What do we have to do in terms of internal stakeholder experience? Like, what should customer success team need to know? What should finance team need to know, and so on? And what should we do as an engineering organization and product organization to be able to support all those use cases for that single flow? We call this, it's an example of a SaaS flow for infrastructure SaaS, which is, and in some cases, this is also applicable to SaaS in general broadly. But that is kind of the requirement, which was, hey, I want to notify the customer to renew their card information because it's going to expire in a few days. And yeah, so that's kind of, I would say,
so the requirement. This is kind of the problem definition. We need to remind the customer to renew the card.
Yep.
And you also said in few days, but really expiration is by months, right? Like if I look at the credit card, it's like May 2025 or something. So right. It's probably like the best we can do is it's going to expire next month, or it's going to expire this month, or going to have already expired and do something about it.
Right. So I think that makes sense, right? Which is, we probably have to send a notification to them 1 or 2 months before, which we can configure ideally. We would have to make sure that we give them enough time to renew. And at the same time, we don't want to stop the service immediately if the card expired.
We talk about stopping the service. Let's take it a step at a time. So the first thing is that we need to detect that the credit card is about to expire. And then we need to have something that allows you to configure when will notifications and how frequently we'll send them.
Right.
But and then we also have to get credit cards out of that state. If we keep on sending notifications after they renewed, that would be a bit embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And that's most of the customer interaction, or we probably want to show something on the website too.
Yeah, so from a customer experience perspective, typically this would be based on their notification settings. So how this would work is, typically this has to integrate with whatever notification rules they have. So this could be that notify
them. Do we even have notification list?
Yeah, so this could be like, I notify them in the product. In-product notification would be kind of something that is default, which we will always have. Something that we show as a red banner on the top when they log in or something.
And you show it to everyone? Because like, what if it's like, you know, a large enterprise organization with 500 users?
Yeah, so then it would be pretty much, in a large organization where you have multiple roles, like an admin role and somebody who's a developer using a product who doesn't really care about the billing side of things. So then this would be something only for the admins who can actually update the credit card.
Do something about it, yeah.
Coming back to the notification side of things, this would also mean notifying them through other channels that they have set up. So this could be like through Slack or email. Let's assume for now, those are only two ways to notify outside.
And by the way, the only reason we can even do this nice experience where we notify them through channels they set up in advance and all their notifications go to the right user with the right setting is because we already have the system that actually handles us setting notifications. And we have in the UI a way for users to configure notifications. If Ram came to me maybe a year ago with the same requirement, I would have said, well, I'm going to write a microservice and I'm going to hack something into Twilio that will send email to whatever email I can find on file for that organization. And if it's everyone, I may be able to say who is what. Roles may have already existed, but it will be through Twilio and then email because I have literally nothing else. It cannot be Slack. It cannot be the UI because nothing else exists.
Yeah, agreed. So, just to give you context on that aspect, it took us a few months to end up building the notification aspects and making sure we have rules settings from the users, stored from user information based on their roles as well.
Yeah, and not to be an advertisement for Confluent Cloud, but it's kind of nifty. You can put in your email or Slack and you can choose exactly what type of notification you want to subscribe to. I care about new features, I care about incidents. Those are two different things. So it is pretty cool.
Yep.
So we handled notifying the customer, but you also said that we need to notify people inside our company.
Yep. So I think before I'll tell you, before we notify, discuss the why we need to notify and who we need to notify internally, I think it's useful to basically understand what needs to happen in terms of requirement, which is there's a pre-expiry setup and there's a post-expiry set of steps that needs to happen.
So we really need a small state machine around that.
So something like, what are all the things that need to happen pre-expiry? So for example, the customer, as we said, needs to get notified of an expiry and request them to renew it. Now, oftentimes completing the customer experience itself, you probably have to send it multiple times for them.
So you probably want like three times, like every week until or something.
Yeah, so send it frequent enough so that they can actually do it. And then the closer it gets, the more urgent it becomes because, you know, the billing will stop. And once you do that, then the question is really on the pre-expiry stage is typically if it's a really large customer, then the sales team should also know. And maybe even the customer success team has.
Large customers live on credit card?
Yeah, so again, it really depends on what they started with in the product. And then they, you know, we have use cases where customers end up being a self-serve experience. They start signing up and they ended up growing organically. And we have had like some massive customers of that sort. When I say large, it's a kind of a subjective statement, but honestly, anybody who's paying you more than, you know, $5,000, $10,000 is a pretty big amount for you every month. So I think it's important for making sure that the right internal customer success, not necessarily the salesperson, but at least you need to make sure that the right customer success person knows about it and ensure that they are ready if they are being asked any questions. Also be that sometimes people, customers are more responsive to like your support portal than your email. So you might want to send in a notification through the support portal itself to the customer versus like sending an email.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like this used to be the most effective notification channel. So this is like both, and we want those success teams to be involved both before and after, essentially.
Yes, and that's all the pre-expiry set of things that we need.
I was just thinking something else. Because it's the moment the credit card stops, we're losing revenue. You would actually want someone from the growth team optimizing the conversion rate of this notification, right? So we actually need to track how many emails are sent before someone responds and maybe experiments, A/B testing on the copy of the email. And is it like a one click to get to the renewal or they have to figure it out? Like I can see someone from a growth team experimenting endlessly with that. So we actually need to make it very flexible and easy to play around with. And
yeah, I think
some metrics around it as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it could be even how the in-product experience is to renew the credit card.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's also something to take care of.
Yeah. So we did all that. What are we missing? Oh, right. Are we going to keep running their clusters indefinitely?
Yeah, so that's the coming to the post-expiry thing. There's a bunch of things there, which is obviously, you know, we don't want to completely delete their clusters or infrastructure. What we want to do is obviously give them a grace time even after the expiry, where we would actually have the clusters running. But let's say it was after like a month of default, we might decide to suspend the infrastructure, not delete, but suspend in the sense that we will probably have to send a notification to them saying, hey, you have given constant notifications to renew it. Right now, we would like to essentially, you know, the billing isn't happening and we would be suspending the infrastructure till you can renew the credit card information so that the service is restored. Now, the timing is something we have to discuss because, you know, is it 1 month? Is it 2 months? How much grace time we would have to give? We'll have to have a good customer experience.
And when you say suspend, you basically mean remove the compute, but keep all the configuration, every single bit of data that is stored, this will remain. We're just taking away, like if it's we will have the configuration, the job will just stop running.
So a good analogy would be suspend is like pause. rather than delete, right? So you're just pausing what was happening so far. All the state and everything remains the same, and hopefully you can resume if the customer has renewed.
That may be something that we actually need to build into our data plan if we haven't planned for that.
Yes, yes. So that's important in terms of making sure we suspend. And then I think after enough time, like let's say 6 months or something where customers didn't respond and everything, it's important for us to delete the organization because, you know, obviously all these clusters cost us money to run. So at some point we'll have to like...
I'm wondering if there's even some legalities around how long are we allowed to keep data for someone who completely disappeared. It may be like if it's not a lot of data and you move it to Glacier storage, it may not be expensive, but maybe there will be some legalities around it.
Yeah. And the other thing that's also important is the finance team needs to know that this actually happened, right? Because if they are computing the revenue and all of that, now obviously they'll get reports, but if something if there was an issue.
Oh yeah, like I can see that the cost breakdown report will actually need like a line item, infrastructure costs for customers who are no longer paying us money.
Yeah, so there'll be at least a default customers who have defaulted list to the finance team.
Exactly.
I do think there might also be, again, this is probably like later stages, but something like background checks. In terms of understanding like these customers better in terms of if they come back again or if they're defaulted, what does it mean for you to go back and have a business again with them? Like some of these large companies have multiple business units. So it becomes complicated. So finance needs to know all this information generally so that they can take any legal actions or other things. So
I haven't thought of that, but that's a good point. Okay.
Yeah, but I think, go ahead.
No, I was trying to move on, but if you have...
I think that was the requirement for this one flow, which is the credit card expiry flow.
It's kind of like, you know, when I first heard I need to notify customers with a credit card expired, I literally imagined, okay, maybe send an email after I got an error from Stripe trying to bill them. Or maybe, okay, run a database query from a cron job once a day and call Twilio to send the email. But when you actually put all those things together, it's kind of like, okay, my hack may be slightly suboptimal here. Especially because there will be a lot of people looking for specific results and they will constantly ask for modifications. So an investment in something I can actually take ahead and modify, especially around those rules, will make a lot of sense.
And I mean, this is not new to us in the sense that we have seen hundreds of such flows.
That's what I was thinking. Like it actually reminds me when you have, for example, limited time free trial, and then the trial expires, and what do you do then? It's literally the same workflow. And as I think about it, right, you trial expire and credit card expires is very similar.
I think the only difference there would be for free trial, there are different variations to it. Some companies end up asking you a credit card, some don't. So the action that you want the user to take will be slightly different, which is with the free trial expired, you want them to actually enter the credit card information for the first time.
Yeah, true.
This is a renewal. And then sometimes it could be that you don't really need a credit card model for them. You might need actually to sign a contract or something larger in terms of other forms of payments. But you're right. I think there's also a notion of for free trial, you have to upgrade the SKU and all the data planes need to know.
Oh, the upgrade part is actually a lot harder. If it's just renew the card, at least I don't have to do anything around that. You're 100% right. I was also thinking that like pausing the clusters and then later on maybe deleting them or the ETL jobs this will actually have to go to some kind of an audit, because if someone comes back and says, why are all my classes gone? You know, we normally, if someone just clicks delete, we log, hey, this user deleted this cluster at this time. We need to log this as our action, so people show up will know what happened.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah, this is big. It's amazing how literally everything starts small and then suddenly it's like, oh, this is really big.
Yeah, and I think the interesting part with control planes and infrastructure SaaS is these flows typically have to impact three people. There are three types of, subjects that are impacted by this. For example, there's a user experience. Obviously, your customer is impacted by the flow. There's all your other stakeholders in your company, like your support and all of them who are impacted by it. And the third is essentially the data plane itself that's impacted by it, which is in all these cases, for example, if you have an example here, which is user deleting or user being leaving a company, which means that now your data plane has to stop
accepting requests from that person.
Yeah,
or...
So how do you do that? How do you push all this information to the data plane to make sure it understands it? Or if a user essentially upgrades to a different SKU, the data plane needs to know that, hey, I can essentially, this user or this customer or this tenant now gets a larger number of higher quotas in terms of number of requests and number of, you know, like throughput and so on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think each of these examples impact all three.
Yeah, I remember when, like, very early when we just started talking about what we're building, you challenged me to come up with 10 SaaS flows, and I think we came up with 10 in like the first 5 minutes of the conversation. It was not even that difficult. And yeah, if you go to my the blog post on why is SaaS so difficult, you'll see a lot more examples that I pulled in to demonstrate different challenges. So now that I have all the requirements, I kind of want to walk you through what it took to implement them. Now, engineering, there is always more than one way to do it. I took a specific path that is very microservicey, very event-driven. You'll see in a second, the logic is all over the place because I really wanted things to stay decoupled. I don't like having tightly coupled logic, but this is absolutely, there's pros and cons, right? The pro is that everything is decoupled. The con is that there is no one place you can look and say, this is my SaaS flow. So I'll walk you through it. The reverse is that you can actually have an entire service just for walking through the steps of SaaS flows. And then you will have if different people need to modify it, marketing, product, engineering, it can get a bit kind of stepping on each other, toesy and monolithic. But you do have a much better view that way. So up to you. We've been successful both ways in different use cases. So just don't get too attached to why is her logic all over the place.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I think both have very similar problems in terms of the building a control plane. So that is kind of what,
it's really either everybody talks to everybody or one thing talks to everybody and coordinates all those things. But like the conversation of everything to everything will have to happen regardless. So let's take a look here. Okay, let's see if I can. Okay, I may need to zoom on specific parts. But the flow basically starts right over here, where we have kind of a timed job. Like, and this is like a very small microservice, or I wouldn't do it in a cron job, but you know, something on a scheduler that checks every day, hey, who is going to expire and do I need to notify? I actually don't have to do it every day. I can probably do it every week and just notify everyone, because I only want to send notifications once a week, I guess. So this schedule has to be configurable through the configuration we talked about with the product people, but every once in a while you have to check who is expiring this month, who is expiring next month, who is already expired, and write events to our event service that will basically say, hey, these are the people, this is the organizations, and this is when they're going to expire, and maybe attach some extra information that is going to be needed later on if you already know about it. So maybe this customer is considered a VIP, they have a salesperson, they don't have a salesperson. If this information is available, you may want to attach it. Now, this bus is the center of everything. This is, as you know, the lifeblood of the company or the central nervous system. So there will be a lot of services listening to it and triggering their own action. You can see that the logic of what gets written is pretty much everything that is about to expire. So the rest of the notifications will have to own some of that logic on their own, which is, again, has its pros and cons, because it will be all over the place and maybe in places that really shouldn't own it in retrospect. So the big one is notifying the customers. So the notification itself, I think Ram already explained that we happen to work with a really cool notification system. So it had a lot of knowledge of which users want to be notified about what and through which channels. So this system basically just has a conversation with the role system and uses that to send the correct notifications. And you can see we do Slack, we do emails. So it's kind of comprehensive. One thing that I haven't really considered is notifying the customer via Zendesk or any other support system. Is that a customer notification or a business integration?
Well, I mean, from a customer standpoint, it's customer notification, right? It's an implementation detail, whether you're using a notification service or you're using some other integration system.
But it's also because, like, I can see that we'll talk about like notifying Salesforce, which is only internal. And I can imagine that salespeople will have a lot of requirements around exactly how they want to get notified via Salesforce.
Right.
I'm wondering if in Zendesk, it's the customers who will have requirements or actually the internal teams that will drive how the integration will work.
Yeah, I mean, typically this is internal teams pushing a notification through Zendesk. So
yeah, so it'll probably be something like, just like we have update Salesforce integration, there will be like update Zendesk thingy.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, at this point, we already built a reverse ETL system. I think that's pretty much the definition. Other than sending those events to customer via our very smart notification system, we're going to have several systems that are responsible for internal notification via updating the systems that those internal teams use. So in this case, we need to update Salesforce. And this is kind of, I made up a rule based on what Ram shared, if it's a large account or if it's someone really important, the salesperson will need to know, otherwise maybe they don't care. And in order to know if it's a large account, we actually need to talk to a service that has all the usage-based metrics. Otherwise, how do we know if it's someone we in sales need to even worry about? Maybe they don't do much.
So one thing I have a question here is, it is not obvious because we talk about users everywhere, but the expiry of the card is per tenant.
Oh, that's right. Yes, and the other is per tenant as well. And I do use orgs everywhere, right? So yeah, it's org ID all over the place. So you're right.
So the expiry comes into the notification service, but the notification service has to only send it to a subset of users in the tenant.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly that. So basically, the event basically has the org ID and the expiration. And then the notification, the different systems have their own rules around that. So yes, the notification system basically checks who is the admin, who is subscribed from this organization, and sends the notification based on that.
So I'm assuming RBAC, when you say RBAC, it's not...
Oh, otherwise, how do I know who is the admin?
Yeah. So I'm assuming this is not just like for the RBAC service will return you a set of users, or does it enforce?
I don't need here RBAC for enforcing anything. I don't think, maybe I do, but it's two different things. Notification system and its own permissions is one thing. What I meant talking to the RBAC is that literally the notification system will have to do something like get all users with an admin role for this organization so it can notify them. And that's what I need here. So it's basically, it's kind of like a get request where org ID equals that and role equals admin or something along those lines. Yeah. And then on the Salesforce, it doesn't need to notify admins. We know we're notifying the account executive, but we do need to know if it's a big enough customer to notify the account executive. So we need all the usage data. And I haven't drawn a bunch of arrows, but it should be obvious that the usage data is arriving all the way from the data plane via its own pipeline that I'm just taking for granted here. This is the amazing thing. Like if you have all those pieces already existing, then you have a fighting chance to create those flows. If I had to actually build a usage metric system in order to create this experience, it would just be 5 years of development and we'd never have a feature.
So what's the arrow to the data plane?
Oh, yeah. So this is the big one, right? At some point we need to deprovision stuff.
Or even, I guess, suspend, right?
Yeah, exactly. So maybe I'm not sure if it's clear on my screen. Let me scroll slightly over. Basically, the data plane itself has to subscribe to those expiration events and act on them. Now, I put the logic of, hey, after that much time since the expiration, you should deprovision, and then you should get rid of compute and then wait a bit longer and get rid of all the rest of the state.
Okay.
But it's kind of controversial that it's in the data plane. Like, I'm not even convinced it's very good architecture. Imagine a data plane model service upstream that actually has this logic in order for all the logic to live just in the control plane, which
I think
actually makes more sense, to be honest.
One other way to do this would be that your control plane decides when to actually suspend a tenant.
Yes.
So data plane doesn't really need to know.
Exactly. Right. This does make sense. Let me change that because it really doesn't make sense. So I need kind of cluster service, right? Cluster metadata service, actually.
Yeah, I mean, let's assume in this context of discussion with this control plane, I think what would happen is a tenant can get suspended for many things. This could be for credit card expiry. It could be just that you want to suspend the tenant because a user doesn't want to.
We decided that they're a competitor.
Who's the competitor?
No, like we found out that one of our customers is trying to compete with us, so we suspended.
So I think what might be useful here is that the data plane listens to just tenant expiry events.
Yeah, exactly. I think the control plane should have a service that listens to every event that the data plane will need to care about and maybe apply some of this logic, right?
Either that or it could just be that the check expiration job, right? Basically, it emits an event of tenant suspend.
So not just, hey, it's expired, like notification, but actually not just notifications, but also commands.
Yeah, also commands. Yeah. So basically, apart from sending notification, it could be the service
that's actually pretty cool.
Sends an event to send the tenant to be suspend, right? Yeah.
So basically all this logic goes also into that service.
Yeah, and the only thing that will differ here is deprovisioning compute or deprovisioning storage is probably not what I think the service will do. It'll just say set the tenant state to be suspend, right?
So, okay, yeah, I think that sounds
good.
Oh, actually, send, it's not really about state, right? Command to suspend.
Yeah, so it'll, I think the way this would work is suspending a tenant might be a lot more, needs a lot more things to happen.
Exactly. So we basically just tell the data plane suspend, and then that plane will have its own probably Kubernetes actions will get taken.
That or Terraform, whatever you need to do to suspend it, that'll be the data plane action, I guess. And then the nice thing about this model is, imagine that the customer had many such clusters. You will have that logic in one place.
And the event, burst out.
All the data planes will make the right actions. The other thing would be that the central system will again take a decision on what does permanent deletion for this tenant mean, right? And this could be configurable per tenant or per SKU or something. And then when they actually have like, oh, this tenant has been suspended for 6 months, they still haven't taken any actions, let's go delete them. Then you might set the state of the tenant to be delete, which means all those data planes will take the appropriate action. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and this is just an expiry, but the nice thing with that model, I think, is there'll be other reasons why you would typically suspend. So,
yeah, exactly. It's very modular.
Yeah.
But the thing is that this is currently kind of the expiry. So, system, yeah, so there will be like other microservices maybe for detecting DDoS and suspending immediately someone who is DDoSing you, kind of thing.
I mean, these are kind of the hard parts of building the control plane, right? Which is you have all these so many flows, and then the challenge is basically how do you ensure that, first off, integrate all these SaaS aspects that we just spoke about to begin with? The second aspect is how do you essentially push all this data to all your data planes to make sure that the right steps take place? The third aspect, I think, is basically making sure there is, you're tying all these flows together to make sure that there are common set of steps for multiple flows.
Exactly. Reusability, right? You want the reusable microservices.
Yeah. And the thing is, not only for reusability, it's also because for correctness, like if two different systems update state in two different places, you'll end up with the wrong...
Imagine that there would be like five different ways to suspend a tenant and only four of them would write to the audit log, one of them forgot.
Right. And finally, I do think making sure we can show the single pane of glass information across all their clusters in terms of where they are, in terms of suspension and all of that, when we stopped it, to the customer itself. So they clearly understand. And I think it might also be important to show audit events to the customer, right? Which is, why did they get suspended in the first place? Because a credit card expired. So all this information of taking these decisions, which are basically decisions taken by systems and not by humans, have to be pushed to the customer itself through some audit event.
Yeah, exactly. And now there's a lot of talk about kind of, it's more in the AI context, but really legible systems, like being able to understand why the machine did what it did. And even though there's literally nothing AI about it, at some point the business logic becomes so convoluted and complex and multi-part that you kind of need to worry about legibility of your business processes internally and toward the customer and probably toward the data plane as the third stakeholder of our control plane.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of love the idea that control planes have three stakeholders, the customers who use them, the business that depends on them, and the data plane.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Are we done? Do we have customers' credit card expiration process? Looking at all those components, I would say it will take me, I don't know, 4 or 5 months to build? Are we okay with that?
Yeah, I need something in 2 weeks.
No, I think it's actually maybe not that bad because a lot of stuff pre-exists, right? So take a look at, because the only thing I have to build is really the things that run the query and then generate some events as a result. And then this already the...
I do think the challenge is in obviously integrations and observability and making sure all this works end to end. But, you know, having a platform, obviously, you know, right now maybe it's 5 months. Let's see if we can do it sooner. Obviously in the hypothetical case, but I think ideally if you have a platform that can give this out of the box.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? Because if you have all those things, if you have the user service, the notification service, the user geometric service, the RBAC service, it means that you can actually tie them together into those flows because you have this platform.
Yeah, and I think
to build any one of them, you're in a much more difficult situation.
Yeah, and I think the credit card expiry flow for all infrastructure SaaS companies will be pretty much the same, except for the actions that the data plane takes. And with some level of configurations, I think it's possible to...
I think it will take me 2 weeks to build it and then the rest of the 4 months to test it.
Yeah.
I can just look at everything we have to mock and then did the data plane actually get deleted? Like just testing across all those boundaries is probably the hardest part. And make sure that the event never got lost, that you never delete the wrong cluster by mistake. There's just a lot of logic.
And it's even more complicated, actually, which it's another can of worms, which I didn't want to bring up, which is you actually need a separate auditing service to actually check the credit card as expired and make sure that this system actually works. Because the notification never happened, you would never know. So what you really need to know is some other external system validating that this system actually works.
I need to basically every week or every day to have a credit card that is expiring now so I can check that everything worked.
Yeah,
like, monitoring for it would be slightly insane, to be honest. Yeah, absolutely. It's always the hardest part, right?
Yeah.
It's always 2 weeks work to build it and then the other 6 months to make sure it actually works reliably. Yeah. Cool.
It's a great discussion. Awesome.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.